This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, with 2010 London Symposium. Proposition. Children know it all. Would you believe that? Children know it all. Now, why do we say children know it all? Well, we say children know it all because children know it all. There's nothing they don't know. And how about you? Do you know it all? Do you know everything? Are you as wise as children are?
Yes.
Well, are children as wise as you are?
Yes.
Yes. Now, you see, that was a slight hesitation, but it's true. Children are just as wise as we are. Why is it that children are not acting as wise as we do all the time? Because we don't think that they're as wise as we are. We don't think the children are as wise as we are, and when we don't think the children are as wise as we are, they don't act as wise as we are. It's the categorical statement of truth. Children act as we think they act. Now, you say, don't they have a right to be what they want to be? No. Nobody in this world has a right to be anything except what you or I, and I don't mean you and I, you or I think they are. What I think they are, they are. What you think they are, they are. Now, they may be different. They may be quite different, but what I think they are, they are. For me, in my thinking, in my way of looking at it. The mother who believes in her child, when her child was accused of stealing something and he said he didn't do it, and the mother who believes is totally different from the other parent, perhaps the father, who didn't believe. The father said, "Oh, you stole it. Yeah, I could expect that about you. You know, you're a, you know, why?" That's the way the father is. I don't really mean to say the father, but that's the way this other person is who's making the objective opinion. He's saying, the facts are in. You know, they said you stole it. The woman next door saw you pick up the bike and steal it, and so forth and so on. And the mother says, "If my son, my creation." My creation. If my son says he didn't do it, he didn't do it. I believe my son. I believe my son eternally because I created my son. My son would not lie. Now, that mother is creating a world that is diabolically different from what others are seeing it. They're seeing it from all the information, all of the appearances, all the illusions, which are not true, but they're there. They're very much illusions. And everybody acts upon those illusions. They call him guilty based on those illusions, but she believes in him because he said he didn't do it. Plus the fact he would never do it, and he wouldn't even have to say he didn't do it. She knew he didn't do it. She knew her son didn't do it. She knew it. And when he said it, that merely confirmed it. But she knew it, and she didn't need any confirmation. She knew it. Now, when you realize that you are the creator of your world, you are the creator of your world. Every one of us is the creator of our world exactly the way it appears to be, with all of its abundance or limitations, with all of its fun or with all of its attitudes of not so much fun. We've created that. Now, why did we do that? Why did you do that? Why did you create negative things in your world? Why did you do that? Why are you so stupid? Well, you're not stupid. See, if I call you stupid, that means I see that too. I don't see any problem in your world. Well, don't you understand what they're doing? And you list the whole laundry list of all the things they're doing to you. And I say, hey, what wouldst thou of yourself? What do you want from yourself? What do you want as a job? I have a woman calling, and she's been calling quite regularly for months, and she's wanting a job. She hasn't had a job for 2 years, and she wants a job. And she, I haven't had a job for 2 years. I haven't had a job for 2 years. And everybody turns me down. Then people turn me on, and then they turn me down when they have a later interview, and da-da-da-da. And I said, you don't want a job, do you? Yes, I do. No, you don't. You should never tell me you don't have a job. You should tell me, you now have your perfect job. You now have your perfect job, whatever it may be. You may not even know what your perfect job is because you're so tied up with telling people what you did in the past and how well you did or how poorly you did and how you were fired or how you were hired and how you're this and that. And you're living in that limitation idea. You're the creator of your world. What world do you want to create? Do you want to create a world that says, I have my perfect job? Well, then create that. But my friends all tell me, boy, you're overclassified or overqualified for this job. You're overqualified. You've got too much ability. I want that job right now. I want that job right now. I don't want to say I am overqualified. So I don't say I'm overqualified. So I say I now have my ideal job. No. And so they hire me. So I get hired to be the janitor. And I'm in there, and I'm working late at night, you know, doing my janitor job. And the boss comes in, and he's working on something. And he says, oh, Herb. And I said, oh, hi, Mr. Big, you know. He says, give me a hand, will you? Oh, sure thing, sir. You know, he's the boss. He says, I'm working on this thing here, and I want to put X, Y, to Z, and B to P to Q, and I want to put R to A, and so forth. Like that. Will you give me a hand doing it? Sure. So, I'm not stupid. I remembered everything he said. So I immediately went in there and put A to P to Q, put all the things just the way he said it. And he says, how did you do that? And I said, you told me you wanted those things put together, so I put them together for you. But nobody can do that. Excuse me, I did it. He said, I know, but I ask other people to do it, they can't do it. I can't even do it. That's why I asked you. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have done it myself. Hey, what's your job here? Janitor? My God. You come to work tomorrow morning and you're the first vice president. The first vice president. And your salary is $200,000 a year. And is that okay with you? My God, yes. I'm just a janitor, you know, that's all. But you hired in and you say you have your ideal job. But you take what comes along. But you have your ideal job. The opening is there. Herb, you're making up all these myths. You're making up all these fairy tales, you know, about him, APDQ and all that sort of stuff. No, I'm not. If you believe in yourself, every job you do will be your best, your finest. Every place you work will be your highest and best. Every attitude you take toward your life will be that. That's what children do. Children go in the play box and they play with toys and they all belong to the children. But they belong to all the other children too, and he lets all the other children play with his toys and he plays with his toys. He doesn't have an attitude that he personally owns all those toys, even though he may. He just says, they're the toys they're playing with. Might say our toys for whoever is playing with them, but he just says, they're toys. Now, can we get to that point in our consciousness where we say, this is my world, and I don't possess it. It's my world. Thank you for letting me ride your horse. That's my horse now. I'm riding that horse. It's your horse. You take care of it. You feed it. You take care of all its needs. But I ride it, and I have the pleasure of riding. And you say to me, Herb, here is your favorite horse. Here is your favorite horse, Herb, you know. And I don't own that horse. I don't own that horse. But I take care of it. I love it. I treat it like I own it. And they say, here's your favorite horse. You know? Hey, Mom. We're driving down the street. Hey, Mom. Take a look here. Yes? What's that? There's our house. That's that house that we want to have. That there's our whole house, you know? They don't have to say that we want to have because you've already known that. There's our house. Well, it won't be long and you'll be living in that house. You see, with that naive, genuine, open awareness of whatever you say and believe about yourself, however you put causes in motion, does that sound so strange? No. Does that sound so strange that the cause you put in motion and it happened? You say, oh, I can understand that. I can understand that very well. But it's the cause you put in motion. And children do that all the time. As I said, children don't own things. Everything belongs to them, but they don't own it. They go out and they get on a bike standing there and they ride it. And they come back with it. What are you doing on my bike? Nobody even thinks to say, what are you doing on my bike? Because they know that little child is riding the bike. And when he gets done, maybe he'll bring it back. Maybe he'll leave it someplace and come back and walk or whatever. But he's not stealing it. He's not stealing it because it's his bike. It's his toy to play with whenever he chooses to. And if ever it's not his toy, it won't be there. Anything that is out wherever he is, it's his toy to play with. Now, that's a child's attitude. And that's what we're talking about when we say here that children know it all. They know it all. Children know it all. They know exactly how to handle everything. And so do you. But you don't know that. You are constantly saying to yourself, I don't have. Now, I don't care what you want to say. I know this because I say that too about myself sometimes. But we don't need to do that. We should get our act straightened out. We should clean up our act. We should start saying what?
I have unlimited cash flow.
Well, that's good. I am better. Yeah. I am unlimited cash flow, or I am cash flow, you know, and that's unlimited. See, the minute we say I have, that means we might not have had. Of course, if we say I am, that means we didn't have, but I am is a little closer to what you really mean. I am unlimited cash flow. And that's great. That's super, you see. Now, when you say those things, what happens? You experience it. Now, how long does it take?
Instant.
The moment you really believe it, the moment you really act upon it, you live upon it. When the little child gets on a toy that's out in front of his house, a bicycle, and he starts riding it, it's his. He has it. Now, he goes in the house afterwards, he drops it down right where he found it, or nearby, and he goes in the house. He doesn't care about the toy. He doesn't have to put it away. He's not the tender of that toy. He's not the caretaker of that toy. He's the enjoyer of that toy. Now, can you be the enjoyer of unlimited income? Can you be the enjoyer of unlimited income?
Yes.
You can only be the enjoyer of unlimited income if you're willing to spend it.
Yes.
No, that doesn't mean that you have to buy things. That doesn't mean that you have to go purchase things. But are you willing to spend it? Are you willing to visualize that you are buying it now? Now, we drove by the Rover Jaguar store there here in Leicester, and as we were driving by it, I saw that Rover puts out other cars besides the big vehicle like they have, you know, the off-road vehicle. And I thought, yeah, that's interesting. And I looked at some of the cars in there, beautiful cars. Oh my goodness, they're lovely cars. And I thought, yeah, I think I'll come and live in Leicester's for a while, and then I'll go and take one of my cars over there, well, maybe the Jaguar or maybe the Rover or something like that, and drive it around while I'm here. And when I'm done, I'll just take it back over there, you know. And it won't be a used car, because it was just one that was being used to be tested to make sure it was in good shape.
Right.
Yeah. And so, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And then I look at my little house here, and I say, plenty big enough for everything. I make a few little changes, and so we put an elevator in here. You know, a good idea. And it's not hard. And it's not expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's a very nice thing. You're a little cramped for space for a staircase there, but a little elevator would be just beautiful, wouldn't it? You get in down here and get out up there.
Yeah.
Now, I think you got another floor up above you, too.
Yeah.
An attic.
Loft, yeah.
Yeah, you got an attic, so have it go to the attic, too.
Retreat.
Huh?
Retreat.
Retreat. You betcha. Is there a basin under here?
No.
Well, maybe we should put a basement.
Oasis at the back.
You got your garage.
Your
barn.
Oasis.
Yeah. But you see, why not? Why not? We drove by a very beautiful building. It's a Muslim building. Or I think it had a half moon hanging up on top. That'd be Muslim, wouldn't it? And a lovely building, brick and so forth. But I thought to myself, ooh, I guess there's nobody home. Because along the outside of the grounds were the fence was, not a fence, where the brick wall was, between the brick wall and the sidewalk, which was maybe about a half an inch, mm-hmm. was growing all sorts of weeds and all sorts of grass and stuff like that. You know, somebody didn't care. And then there were little breaks in the wall with iron, and then they let the air pass through and stuff like that. But inside you could see that the grass wasn't taken care of in there either. That it wasn't tended. Such a beautiful building, such a glorious structure. The little nuances of making it a glorious and beautiful, respected building wasn't done. The grass wasn't cut. It wasn't grass. It was just some little weeds along the edge of the brick wall on the inside and the outside, which needed to be cared for. Now, I looked at that, and I looked at the whole building, and I thought, what a lovely building, what a lovely building. And then I looked down, and I saw that the toenails hadn't been cut, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I looked down, and I saw that just a simple little thing they didn't take care of. Mm-hmm. And it isn't something that they can't handle quite easily, you know. Any one of their people would be happy to do it if they thought about it. But they went in there with their heads high for God, and so they forgot all about cutting their toenails. And because they didn't cut their toenails, people who want to pick at them and think that they're less than beautiful and good, they'll find that as a fault. And it's not a fault. It's just a carelessness. See? It's just a carelessness. You do that too. Every time you forget to cut your toenails and you're wearing stockings or something, you chop right through your stockings and they're gone in no time at all, you know? Mm-hmm. Every time you forget to do some little thing like that, and it's not a big deal, but it's just careless, not even thoughtless, it's just careless. You say careless and thoughtless are the same thing. Well, they're not. Careless is where it doesn't touch you. That the total aspect of your being is not perfect. And when it doesn't touch you, that the total aspect of your being is not perfect, then you do not achieve all the good you could have. Now that Muslim temple could be the Mecca of the Muslims of this area in such a beautiful, harmonious, happy area. But you see, because they have anger in their heart occasionally, because they have unhappiness in their heart occasionally, they don't even see the little needing of clipping the toenails. You see what I mean? And now, I don't see that. I looked at that beautiful building and I thought, what a beautiful building. I personally would just go in there and clean up that grass myself, even though I'm not a Muslim, you know. I would go in there and touch that up, and I would go in there and bring my blessing of love. I'd clip their toenails for them, you know. And I have done things like this. I have done things like this. Not that I am making a judgment of anybody, but like the little child. He plays with a bicycle that's not his own, and he rides it. When he gets done, he just drops it. I say, son, if you're going to ride that bike, not your bike, if you're going to ride that bike, when you're done, you take it to the side of the sidewalk and put the kickstand down and stand it up properly and make it proud. Be proud to have it, because you want to be able to ride it again. And when you show respect for everything that you have, you'll have it again. Now, it's not bad. It's not evil. But it's teaching him respect for everything that he does. When Ibu Bey goes to the bathroom, he stands there with the toilet seat down, and he sprays the whole toilet seat. And I say, Ibu Bey, every time you go to the toilet, you pick up the seat, because you don't want your mummy having to sit on your piss, you know, because that's not very nice. And you don't want somebody else to have to wipe it up, because that's not very nice. But you pick it up, and everybody is satisfied, because if anybody wants to use it, just drop it. And I say, Ibu Bey, you are so wonderful. You are so thoughtful. You're always doing such nice things for everybody, and you want to make everybody's life so happy and so filled with joy and peace and harmony and goodness. I said, Ibu Bey, it's just an honor to be around you, just really a privilege to be in your world. You are so great. Now, do you think he understands me?
Yes.
Do you think that he knows that I love him and I'm not trying to tell him what to do and how to live his life? I'm merely trying to tell him how he could make other people a lot happier if he wanted to. Because his life will go on even if he pisses on the toilet seat, you know. How many people do that? Majority of the men do that. They do it thoughtlessly, carelessly, because their mothers never taught them to pick up the toilet seat. Because they wanted the toilet seat down, so when the girls sat down, they wouldn't sit on the porcelain, you know. But, you see, it's better to have it up and dry than it is to have it down and schlucky, you know. And this is a simple little thing. Just a simple little thing. But it's something that shows pride. It's cutting the toenails, you see. It's cutting the toenails of life, making everything as beautiful as you can. And then the little child, when he wants to go ride that bike again, or he goes out there and he says, last time I rode that bike, that was such fun. And out there it is, sitting right on the kickstand, right where he left it. Others may have ridden it too and put it back right where it is, because that was a good symbol, a good image. Children know it. They know how to do it. They have it completely, and it's wonderful. Now, do adults know how to do it? Do adults know how to have it? Do adults know how to put the cause in motion to bring about any experience they want? Do you?
Yes.
Well, if you do, then right now, today, you must become as a little child. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, as we're told, we must become as little children. Now, what are little children? Number one, little children don't see any evil in the world. Only their parents have told them that something is evil, and then they say, oh, that's evil. But until that time, they see nothing as evil. Even if they've been brought up to do good things, to lift the toilet seat, and someone else doesn't lift it, they don't see that as evil. Hey, Johnny! My mom always says, lift the toilet seat so when the girls want to sit down, they don't have to sit down on your piss, you know? And, well, I don't care. Well, I do. I like my mom, and I like my sisters, and I like my house, and I do these things because I know it makes them happy, and it makes me happy. Well, Johnny doesn't say a thing, but he lifts up the seat. He goes home, and he lifts up the seat. He doesn't say anything to anybody about it. He doesn't say, Mom, this is what Paul told me today. This is what Herb told me. This is what Eagle Bay told me today. He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says nothing. He just lifts up the seat. He might put it down after he's done, but he lifts it up. Because a seat that is up has not been pissed on. And so anyone who puts that seat down is going to be a nice, dry seat. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, if you teach Ibube that, and I have shared it with him several times, I shared it with him last time I was here too, but if you teach that to him, he will do it unconsciously, and he will do it naturally. He'll do it as all things should be done, intuitively. He'll do it because it's just the thing to do. And not because he's making a lot of other people happy or unhappy, but because it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to be in harmony with life. Now, you would like to have more abundance in your life. Everyone would like that, of course. You'd like better health in your life. You'd like better relationships with your friends. You'd like everything to work more smoothly in your life. Well, it can't happen. It cannot happen unless you are like Ibu Bay and you want to go for a ride on the bike and it's right there. Right there where you left it, but where someone else has ridden it and left it, or where the owner has left it, you know, because they just don't care. But you care, and so it's there. Now, is that inconceivable that that bike would be there? It's very conceivable. Very believable that bike would be there. But now, why? Because that innocent consciousness of Ibu Bay says, I'm going to ride the bike. You know? And there it is.
Yeah.
It says, innocent consciousness, ingenuousness that all of us can have that is so beautiful and so wonderful and so uplifting and so rewarding, but we must become as little children to enjoy these things, to have that innocence. Because if you're so smart as an adult, you're going to say, well, that's kind of what I expected of you. That's kind of the stupid thing I expected of you. That's kind of, I figured you wouldn't give me something. You go in the bank and you want a loan, and you go in there with an idea that they won't give it to you, that money is hard, and that everybody, the banks are not very cooperative, and they're just very not very nice people, you know. And so you go in there, and you're a little bit obstreperous and vituperous, and you talk to the banker and you say, I want this money, I really need this money. Hey, mm-hmm. Ma'am, I know what you're coming from, because we have a lot of customers who come in here thinking they're not going to get the loan. But all I want to know is how you're going to repay it. And how can you stand up for the loan? What are you worth for it? You know? Oh, we're good. And relax. Now, tell me, what would you like? Well, I'd like $50,000. Well, that's not bad. Now, what are we planning on doing with $57? Oh, I was going to pay all of our bills, and I was going to make some repairs on the house, and just buy a couple pieces of kitchenware that I'd like to have. Well, that's not unusual. What sort of collateral have you got? What sort of support have you got to say that you can, that you're worth this here? That if you, for any reason, didn't pay it, we could collect those things. Well, I own my cars free and clear. I got 5 cars, you know, and that's pretty good. 5 Rolls Royces, you know. what are you worried about? $50,000? Your credit card will only give you that much off the top, right? Oh, no problem at all, you know. But why don't you do that? No, I don't want a 12 to 18% loan. I want a 5 to 10% loan that you give to when you loan money, you know. Well, why not take a loan on your house, get a second mortgage on your house. I don't even have a first mortgage. Well, that's all the better. You get a first mortgage on your house for $50,000, that's not bad. And you pay it off at $60 a month for so many years. You know, and if you want to pay it off sooner, that's fine too. But your interest rate is good? Wow, yes. Oh! Now, do you think I could even have more? Well, what's your house worth? Well, it's worth about $600,000. Ooh, wow, that's a good house. We'll send our appraiser out and find out what your house is worth. Meanwhile, give me an idea what how much money you think you'd like to have. Well, I'd like to have about $100,000, maybe at least, you know. Okay, fine, that's no big deal. So, the appraiser looks at the house, and the house is not worth $300,000. It's worth $800,000, you know. Money, it's gone up. It's gone up from what they had expected it to be. The whole neighborhood has gone up. Oh, $100,000, no problem. And so, you sure you don't want more? You know, because they don't mind taking the house. You owe them $200,000 and they got a $800,000 house. No problem at all, you know. There's a good return on that. And so, with your changed attitude, being helped by a banker who is in business to help people change attitudes and help people think differently about themselves, it works. It works. And you would never have believed of that, because you are of the school, you do not buy something that you can't have, that you can't pay cash for. If you can't pay for it, you don't buy it. You don't do things like that, because that's just not the way it's done. Well, we live in a different world, don't we? We live in a different era. We live in a different age where things are done that way, where things are done. My dad would never buy anything unless he paid cash for it. And he bought a lot of stuff. He bought a lot of stuff, but he was a cash on hand boy. And that's what he trained us to be too. And for the most part, we're living up to that. We don't need it. We have the cash. We have it whenever we need it. We don't have to get loans and borrow things. We don't have to do things like that, because that's not our consciousness. We are like a little child. When we want something, it's there. Daddy buys it, mama buys it, whatever. Who cares? It's there. Maybe Uncle George just died, and Uncle George was worth a lot of money. And there was 8 kids in his family and 5 in ours and 4 in theirs and so forth. And when it got down to it, and the kid, Abel Bay, is getting his portion of the uncle's estate. It comes to $12,000. $12,000 is very nice, you know. He didn't even think of anything. He didn't even have 50 cents, you know. He didn't even have $50. But $12,000. Mom, look, isn't that wonderful? And she already knows about it. She says, yes, it is, Abel Bay. Now, What would you like to do with all that money? I don't know. Buy another Nintendo. Bigger battery, a little bigger thing. He's not spendthrifting. He's just thinking of whatever he would really like. He doesn't say, oh, I want to buy new clothes, now I want to buy a new house, now I want to buy this, now I want to buy that. That's not his consciousness. His consciousness is living in the now, enjoying the now, enjoying things now. And we can learn from that. That's how we can become as little children. And as we become as little children and learn from that, then it's all there for us. It's all wonderfully there for us. Now, do you want that?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I want that. No, you don't. You don't want that.
Yeah,
I am.
I am that. You see, it's up to you not to get excited about my tales of joy, but to say, that's me. That's me. That's me, Herb. I'm just like that. That's the way I do things too. You know, that's me. I'm rich. I'm happy. I'm abundant in every way. But you see, we got to get out of the range. The little child doesn't say, I wish. He says, I have a horse. Where's your horse? You'll see. You'll see. And he has it, doesn't he? Become as a little child, and the kingdom of heaven is your cup of tea.
I am.
You are a little child, and the kingdom of heaven is my cup of tea. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Nice, isn't it? I love you.